So we'll go ahead and have Marie talk about give the presentation that she wanted to give.
Well, the short story is we're not doing annual evaluations this year. Yeah. The reasons for that, or I should say, annual evaluations are not required this year. There were a couple of reasons for that. One, well, pandemic. and then secondly, we're in the middle, well, we're not in the middle, we're coming to almost the end of People Admin upgrade implementation. So the performance evaluation module looks different. I think y'all are gonna like it. We addressed the things that people had complained about from previous years, some of the ratings. I think I talked to you about that, didn't I, at some point earlier? So that's done. We're in the final tweaking. Tammy Gill and Donna Shipley have been working on that heroically for months. But it's what we need to do is train people how to use it. So that's kind of awkward to do right now. And it was just concluded that, you know, it didn't seem reasonable to ask all the employees and supervisors to try to make all of that happen. I mean, it's frankly challenging enough when we're on campus. So they're not required this year. On April 29th, I sent a message to all the supervisors telling them that. And I sent it to Cecilia. Cecilia, you can feel free to share that with the whole group if you want. We are going to keep doing the probationary evaluations for anyone who has those due, and also evaluations for people that were on a performance improvement plan. And then, you know, anybody that didn't have goals established, they need to do that. We do have one department. The director said that they wanted to go ahead and do evaluations for their staff anyway, because it had been a really good year and they wanted to talk about their goals and all that. So they're going to do that as kind of a pilot project for us. I think HR, we're going to do it as well, because we want to try out the system. And so, I mean, certainly supervisors can do evaluations, but they're just not required. So what we said is the goals that had been set last year would just carry over. You know, as I said, people can do them if they want to, but they're not required. Does anybody have any questions about that?
I imagine you have supervisors who are going to be happy they don't have to do them.
I think people were in tears of gratitude in some cases. Somebody sent me a message, tears of gratitude. Yeah, I mean, it's challenging. It's kind of disappointing because, I mean, I'm a big believer in performance evaluations. I think they're important. But it's, you know, I feel like it's all, you know, it's been a real struggle and still is. So that decision was made.
Any questions for Marie about this or anything else?
I have one. Marie, you had said that Tammy and Donna are working on the training possibly. Is there a target date for that availability?
The training for the evaluation?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Tammy, feel free to jump in here if you have something to add. Tammy's working on instructions first. Okay. You know, with screenshots, and I'll just as the first point, the training itself, I mean, normally what we would do would be, you know, a PowerPoint presentation. And I think that's what we're going to work toward, because it does need to be ready to go. And Tammy, do you have anything you want to add to that?
I guess just the timing. I think what we talked about was probably, you know, late summer or early fall that we would potentially be, you know, delivering training. Is that accurate, Marie. I think that's what we talked about the last time.
Yeah. You know, and maybe some people will have an opportunity to practice during the year with their probationary evaluation. So we'll make sure that we catch any bugs in the new module as we try it out.
Okay. So does anyone else have anything for Marie or anything else you want to bring up at this point? Yeah,
Marie,
Carrie.
Is the entire people admin system changing or just the evaluation part?
Actually, the whole thing is going to change, and we're really excited about it. Those of you who use people admin a lot are gonna really like it. We have finished the work on the position management and applicant tracking part. So, I mean, we could implement that any minute, but again, we have to do instructions and training for people to know how to use it. But it's going to be a much more, I guess, kind of a more modern interface, you know, the dashboard and all that kind of stuff like you're used to using in a lot of software. I mean, we implemented this in 2008 and it wasn't new then. So, you know, it's a little creaky. And we've had to do, you know, a lot of workarounds. But one of the things that's kind of cool is they have what's called the records module, which, I mean, I don't think even the different names of the modules probably mean that much to the end user, because you see what you see. But we're in one of the modules, we're going to be able to do onboarding paperwork and like the background authorizations that you do, for example, when we hire a new person, we'll be able to do that electronically. We'll be able to do, we think, all of the, like, well, part of the I-9, right, Tammy? I mean, because eventually somebody still has to come in here and show us something. But, you know, new employees sign off when they get the drug policy and the safety manual and the staff handbook and all that. We'll be able to do all of that remotely. So I can't wait. I think it's going to be really great. I think y'all are going to like it. And we will be rolling it out this fall. You know, hopefully we'll be here and we'll be able to communicate.
Marie, I have a question about people admin. Are hiring actions going to change, which will start needing to do again toward the end of the summer if we have any new faculty coming in that we haven't already hired for fall?
They will, but one thing I should say is the version of people admin that we have right now, which is 5.8, and the one we're getting is suite 7, 5.8 is not going away. So those actions will still work. One of the things that you're going to like about the new version is you have when you log in, you have an inbox that shows you the actions that are hanging out there that either are pending your action or that you're you can track things as they go through. So it'll be, you know, you'll be able to see where your actions are and who's waiting, whose approval is pending.
Great.
Yeah. Great. So I don't know exactly, you know, how. I guess what I'm saying is I don't think it has to be an abrupt change. If you've got actions going through 5.8, it's still going to, you know, they're still going to go through.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Marie, for telling us all about not getting reviewed this year, everything. I guess they can email you if they have any other questions.
I do have a question for Marie.
Oh, sorry, Melody.
That's okay. I was muted. So early when the pandemic began, the custodial workers, they were sent home for 5 days and they were wanting me to ask why. That was not of their choice and they were made to take their leave in order to be off. They were told to be off for 5 days before they could return to work. What I'm wondering is, you know, and we were under the understanding, you know, after it was all over and done with, that, you know, possibly somebody was showing some symptoms, but it didn't turn out that they had COVID. And we were wondering going forward that if somebody, like in my group of coworkers, is to present with symptoms, is the rest of us just going to forcibly be told to go home for 5 days?
Well, thanks for bringing that up. So what happened was one of the daytime custodians reported having been exposed to COVID-19 and he got tested for it. Well, all of the daytime custodians had been in close proximity with him at that point. So they had to go and quarantine as he did until his test results came back, which thankfully were negative in the end. Meanwhile, some of the evening custodians chose to also stay home. They didn't have to. They had not been
in a Zoom meeting
specifically exposed to that employee, but they were allowed to. You know, I mean, not that there's any good timing for something like this, but if that whole thing had happened 10 days later, we would have had the family's first leave available, and employees could have had, you know, the emergency paid sick leave that was available through the Families First Act, but it hadn't. So, I mean, that came like I said, about 10 days later. So, like Dr. Hendricks mentioned earlier, the state law forbids employers for paying employees for not working. So you can't just say, go home and we'll just keep paying you and pretend like you're working. So they used their leave.
And going forward, if that was to be the case going forward, how's that going to be handled? Or is the whole department, you know, people that were in close proximity, going to be told to go home and you know, don't come back to work until this person's results come back?
Well, I think it's possible. For right now, the Families First Act that gave us the 2 weeks paid emergency sick leave, if someone already has used their 2 weeks paid emergency sick leave, they wouldn't be able to use it again. If someone had not used it, then that would be a great example of when you could use it. But yeah, I mean, I think that's why these things that we're talking about, I really hope people take it seriously, because if we don't do the social distancing and the masks and all of that kind of stuff, you know, things could get really hairy. So, yeah, I mean, this is not, there's nothing good about it.